Cloudflare's announcement today is called Cloudflare OS, and the name is intentional provocation. They're framing it as an open platform for agents, applications, and work, positioning their edge network not as a CDN or security layer, but as the operating system substrate on which distributed AI-driven applications run. The score on HN is 569 with 276 comments, which reflects both genuine interest and genuine skepticism.
The technical architecture is ambitious. Cloudflare OS appears to unify their workers' runtime, durable objects, their AI gateway products, and their R2 storage into a coherent application platform with primitives specifically designed for agent workloads, persistent state, long-running tasks, tool calling, and multi-agent coordination. The vision is that you should be able to build a fully autonomous agent-driven application without ever leaving the Cloudflare ecosystem.
The business logic is clear. Cloudflare wants to be the AWS Lambda of the agentic era. They have extraordinary infrastructure, 250-plus points of presence globally, a battle-tested edge runtime, and strong developer mindshare in certain segments of the market. The question is whether OS is the right metaphor, or whether it's marketing that overpromises and creates a credibility gap when developers actually dig in.
The HN comments surface a recurring concern that Cloudflare's platform is powerful but sticky in ways that aren't always disclosed up front. Workers and durable objects have non-standard APIs that don't map cleanly to other runtimes, which means migrating off is substantially harder than migrating on. Calling it an OS amplifies the lock-in concern because operating systems, by definition, become the layer everything else depends on.
Related to Cloudflare's announcement is SELD, the self-hosted distributed durable objects project from the Dino team, which landed on HN with 230 points and 38 comments. The timing is almost certainly not coincidental. SELD is essentially the answer to the lock-in concern. If you want durable object semantics without the Cloudflare dependency, here is an open source implementation you can run yourself. The fact that it's coming from Dino, which shares significant DNA with Cloudflare's workers runtime through Ryan Dahl's involvement in both, makes this technically credible.
Zed's DeltaDB is a different kind of infrastructure story. Zed, the editor that's been steadily accumulating developer attention over the past couple of years, is announcing DeltaDB, which appears to be a Delta State synchronization database designed to power real-time collaborative editing features. The HN discussion is technically dense, with 237 comments digging into the CRDTs, the consistency model, and whether this is genuinely a new contribution or a repackaging of existing techniques.
From a product strategy perspective, Zed building their own database layer is a significant commitment. It signals that they believe their collaborative editing infrastructure is a genuine competitive differentiator and not a commodity. Whether that belief is correct depends on whether DeltaDB offers something that couldn't be achieved with existing solutions like YJS or AutoMerge. The technical comments suggest the answer is nuanced. There are specific performance characteristics DeltaDB optimizes for in the editor context that are harder to achieve generically.
Then there's Hyperprobe, a YCS26 company launching on HN, which is building read-only debugging agents for production environments. The pitch is that their agents can inspect production system state without modifying it, which addresses the perennial nightmare of production debugging, where you can't attach a debugger without affecting the running system. The comments are engaged, and the technical questions are sharp, which is the best possible response to a Launch HN post.
The security story in this segment is the most alarming, and I want to make sure we give it proper treatment. PromptArmor has published a detailed report demonstrating that Atlassian Rovo, Atlassian's AI agent product, can be manipulated through prompt injection to exfiltrate data in ways that bypass enterprise data controls. The mechanism is prompt injection through content that Rovo reads as part of its normal operation: documents, tickets, comments, with crafted instructions that redirect the agent's behavior.
This is a fundamental challenge for any AI agent product that operates with access to enterprise data. The attack surface isn't the agent's authentication layer. It's the content the agent reads. If an attacker can insert instructions into any document the agent processes, they can potentially redirect the agent's actions. Atlassian's security posture here is under scrutiny, but the honest answer is that this is an industry-wide problem, not an Atlassian-specific failure. Every agentic product with broad data access permissions faces this challenge.
This is where the antitrust angle actually becomes relevant, Sarah, and I want to take a quick educational detour here. The reason enterprise security researchers are paying so close attention to these agentic AI products is that a small number of companies, Atlassian, Microsoft, Salesforce, ServiceNow, have cornered the enterprise software market in ways that mean their AI products get deployed at massive scale, often with broad permissions, before security implications are fully understood. That market concentration is what makes a single security finding in Rovo's architecture worth an industry-wide alert.
Walk us through the antitrust framing there, Marcus, because I think some listeners might wonder how that's relevant.
Sure. At its core, antitrust law in the United States descends from the Sherman Act of 1890, two sections that remain the backbone of competition law today. Section 1 prohibits agreements that restrain trade. Section 2 prohibits monopolization, the acquisition or maintenance of monopoly power through exclusionary conduct. The critical point, and this trips people up, is that having a dominant market position is not itself illegal under American antitrust law. 60% market share in enterprise collaboration software isn't a violation. What the law prohibits is using that dominance through exclusionary conduct, bundling products in ways that foreclose competition, pricing below cost to drive out rivals, or engineering technical lock-in that makes switching artificially expensive. The legal standard for monopoly isn't a number. It's demonstrated power to control prices or exclude competition in a properly defined market, combined with willful maintenance of that power rather than just competing on the merits. The reason this matters for the Rovo security story is that when one enterprise platform achieves near monopoly penetration in a vertical, a single security architecture decision, like how broadly an AI agent is permitted to read and act, becomes an industry-wide exposure, not a competitive problem for one company.
And regulators are increasingly aware of that dynamic. The EU's AI Act has specific provisions about high-risk AI systems in enterprise contexts that are going to force exactly these kinds of architecture conversations.